Morning Drive for the Soul here on Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Jonathan Fisk getting ready for some Worldview Watch with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, taking what we believe and why we believe it and trying to understand the times in which we live by that truth, and especially as we have been doing on Monday mornings, dealing with life issues, health issues, and what was the other one again? Why We Lie, apparently, is part of it as well. National Geographic in the business of explaining everything. Dr. Weiss, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners, Pastor.
Yeah, likewise. So let's hit the euthanasia stuff first. It's old news, but it's not old news. The train keeps going toward the cliff.
Well, it does, and the basic thing now that's happening with the issue of physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia is that they're moving into what they call a market takeover, which basically is to say, could it be the insurance company would direct patients towards the cheaper option, i.e. physician-assisted suicide, euthanasia, instead of agreeing to a larger payout for more expensive, say, hospice care. Or perhaps even palliative care, which usually is involved with treatment and then diagnosis, because hospice is usually after treatment, and that's comfort care. So now this comes out of ABC Religion Ethics this week, and so they're starting to talk about the market forces undermining attempts to regulate physician-assisted suicide in five states that we have here, including D.C., here in the United States. I mean, I'm not, and you're not, and I know many of your listeners are not for this type of philosophy of euthanasia-assisted suicide, because we're always to care, never to kill. But I just thought I'd bring this up, that people need to be tuned in terms of looking very carefully, and then I would say in the near future, to the insurance companies and what they're saying about physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia.
Yeah, I think we got to be ready for not only having it be kind of the thing they're really pushing you for in terms of what the doctor tells you, almost the level you have to do. We got to be ready for that and be. What went through my mind there is when they tell me, look, you're going to die, you have to die. Here's the option. We're not going to pay for anything else. So push that button. We got to be ready to say, I'm not pushing that button. You push that button. You murder me if you have to, right? But
exactly.
I'm not pushing that button.
Well, this all goes back to what you've been speaking a great deal about on his time, and that is your Christian witness, living the life of Christ in this world. And it goes back to, of course, the whole issue of suffering, not that, you know, God's up in heaven with a big G on his chest going, suffer, suffer, suffer. But we do suffer as Christian. Christian persecution is always ongoing. And so the whole issue here comes to the front of the pew here and watching this whole story develop, is that we have to be ready to say, no, this is not what we're going to do. And so this needs to be, we need to be tuned into the families, and everybody needs to be aware of this. And once again, I think one of the big benefits of his times, it brings about more of a proactive than a reactive situation to what Christians are listening to on the radio.
When you
be more proactive.
Yeah, well, you got to be proactive with your mind. One of the great lies of the last era was that this media stuff is harmless. Now, I'm not anti-media. I'm not anti-TV. I'm not anti-internet. I'm not anti-radio. But neither do I believe that they don't do anything. they do things. They give you thoughts. They intentionally give you thoughts, and those who are controlling these things are really good at manipulating now, because they put a lot of money and science into making it happen. And so if you're not proactive in trying to guard your mind against what you're being told 24 hours a day from every single corner of the world, you're just going to get blown away in the whirlwind. And I don't think it's impossible to guard your mind. I think that's what Christianity is for. It's why Christian media is very important as well. But it's to be aware of that, and then to see, look, the rest of the culture is going to keep blowing in this direction. And so there's going to be a point at which we just have to be ready for this. Physician-assisted suicide is the expected norm for how you end your life in this country. We just got to be ready for that to be the way it is. The same way that other things have become expected norms that we are struggling with, or we used to think were taboo or whatnot. Now, you mentioned the difference between palliative care and hospice care there a moment ago. Can you emphasize what that is?
Sure. I just want to make sure that people, like we always talk about palliative care in relationship to hospice care, but hospice care, when it was started in England, this really deals with after treatment and comfort care when a person's life, we know, is ending, organs are being shut down, the cancer can no longer be treated, it's metastatic. And my dad underwent this at home hospice. You can do home hospice or you can go to a hospital or other facilities where they have hospice care, but that's usually post-treatment. Palliative care, of course, deals with diagnosis and treatment. It is comfort care, but it is also dealing with that dying is, and we're going to say this in the context of the world, it is a normal process. It basically is relief of symptoms, and hospice care is a bit different. That's post-treatment, and palliative care it really comes from a Greek word meaning cloak. In other words, we're going to kind of mask all your symptoms and treat them. But that's diagnosis and treatment. It's palliative care. Hospice care is post-treatment. That's a pretty basic comparison and contrast between these two so that people understand that yes, there is comfort care when it comes to hospice, but it always is post-treatment.
Right. So if you're going on to hospice, it means your time is very, very limited. We're expecting
exactly.
you to die soon. And if you're in palliative care, you might last a while. You might even come back from this thing.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So that's the difference there. So if your doctor's talking hospice, I mean, just kind of know. So, all right, you know, time to call the kids. Let's get the kids in. Yeah? It won't be this afternoon, but if they're across the country, they should be getting here. And let's spend some time together. Let's call the pastor as well, by the way. Call the pastor. Get him coming in and giving you the Lord's Supper, all that good stuff. So you mentioned National Geographic has figured out why we lie. So what did they find, the sin gene finally? What's that about?
Here we go. It says National Geographic, this is on the front page, why we lie, the science behind our complicated relationship with the truth. And basically what they're saying here, now here's a good one for you, Pastor. The truth comes naturally, that is telling the truth. But lying takes effort and a sharp, flexible mind, and it's part of the developmental process. In fact, what they're saying is that people between the ages of 13 to 17 lie more frequently than people between, say, 60 to 77 or 45 to 59. And they're saying that it's a developmental issue, and of course they reach this back to the whole issue of Darwinian evolution. And so their bottom line here in this article is that people lie to cover up bad behavior. And then they say being deceitful is woven into our very fabric, so much so that it would be truthful to say that to lie is human. And then the last statement I'll make here to hear your comments, that human beings should universally possess a talent for deceiving one another. It shouldn't surprise us. And of course they go on that kids are better liars than lying as they get older. And so, and then they give all these examples. One lie can lead to another, as evidenced by smooth, remorseless lying of serial con men and so forth. So this just goes on and on. So, of course, there's nothing theological in here. It's all basically a state of mind that we're hardwired for.
Yeah, okay. So I'm okay with that then. What they're saying is that we have this thing called original sin, and you can study it and see that we naturally are going to get to a point where we realize that I have to fight the world for myself, or we think that's the main thing to do, and that the best way to do that is to couch what I say carefully so that it benefits me and maybe not you, unless it's going to benefit me. We were talking about that earlier on the show as well. The part that I was bothered by right off the bat was truth comes naturally. I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that one. I get it, like the sky is blue. Okay, the sky is blue, but lying came pretty naturally to my kids. Like, I didn't sit down and like tell them, okay, so when I'm mad at you and you're going to get in trouble, you need to tell me the opposite of what I said or of what you did so that I don't know it was you, and plant some evidence so that it looks like it was your sister, right? I didn't have to tell them that. They just figured that out on their own. So I think that came pretty naturally, too. I mean, am I missing what they were saying there at the start?
No, you're saying it's exactly right. Of course, one of the things they do say is that greed is one of the whole issues of one's predisposed to lying is greed. And so that, of course, is one of the issues in terms of sexual immorality, is that, you know, greed, avarice, and so forth is one of those mentioned in the New Testament in terms of how things are viewed. But it concludes this: what then might be the best way to impede the fleet-footed advance of untruths in our collective lives? The answer isn't clear. Technology has opened up a new frontier for deceit, adding a 21st century twist to the age-old conflict between our lying and trusting selves. So what they're saying here, of course, is they say the answer isn't clear to why we're lying, other than we know that it's a progression and that all the technology that we have today is just continuing to opening more doors to take advantage of people through lies. And I think there are many things in this article that certainly you and I would agree with, except this issue of truth. But from what we're dealing with in terms of lying, with the eighth commandment, bearing a false witness, you know, our whole body and soul is corrupted. And we know that this isn't bending the truth. This is not telling the truth like Peter. He lied about his relationship with Jesus. And of course, he wasn't the only one there. But so this takes us back to, okay, this is a fine article, but how can we deal with this theologically? And the theological, of course, from this viewpoint is that we're a corrupted body and soul. And so let's talk about truth. And then we get into, of course, our Christology on truth, and the truth will set you free. And so this is the kind of stuff that Satan is throwing at people. It's a good article from the standpoint of psychology and philosophy, but the other side of the coin is we have to also be tuned in so that people understand why we lie, is that we, of course, are fallen people, and that's why we lie.
Philosophy is great.
Biblical viewpoint.
Philosophy is great, but it only brings more questions. That's the problem. My guest, Dr. Bob Weiss, are you emeritus now, Dr. Weiss? Are you still full-time?
Yeah, I'm emeritus. Still teaching, but that's the title they give to me now.
Yeah, emeritus. Over there at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Bet.
Thanks for being with us today.
Godspeed. Bye-bye.
Self-preservation. That's why we lie. That's why we do everything we do. We believe at a very deep-rooted level that it is up to this thing we call me to preserve myself. We believe that because we don't believe that there is a God out there who desires to preserve us. That's why we lie. Because we don't believe. Even I did something wrong, right? I'm afraid of what it's going to mean. I don't believe I can be forgiven. So I lie to cover it up. I don't want the punishment. So I lie to cover it up, thinking that somehow I will create good by adding to my evil. And as the article, it would seem, says that this can become a habit and a pattern. Well, yeah, I'd say on top of that, I mean, you can't get better at it, which is bad. But on top of that, it is an inbred nature. We can't escape. What's the answer? They don't know. But see, we do. The answer is actually forgiveness. The answer to lying and lying less is not telling everybody how bad lying is. We all know that. That's why we're so mad when people do it to us. The answer is the forgiveness of sins. How much more ready is a child to confess what they have done when they know that the ramifications will be tempered with grace? How willing is that human being to confess their sins when they know the pastor is going to say, in the stead and by the command of Jesus, I forgive you? And then, I tell you what, how willing is that person now to try all the more to do the right thing the next time around? We're not perfect this side of the grave, but the antidote to your lying tongue is not more law. It's Jesus. You're listening to His Time, your morning drive for the soul here on Worldwide KFUO. I am your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and apparently I didn't start the music. There it goes. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has redeemed you, bought you, set you free, who does forgive all your sins. Universe, you know this, right? He's coming back. It could be this afternoon. It might be tomorrow. Could be the day after. I'm not sure. But in any case, I do look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.